Imagine this. You're sitting at your desk staring at the box of a new Gunpla. You're not quite sure what you want to do yet. Opening this box means opening the door to a fifth dimension, one of imagination, one only known to nerds. This key is the physical manifestation of your dreams. Anything is possible. Do you try something new, or do you fall into old habits? Somewhere between the gravity weighing down your soul and the flashy wings of freedom, you've put yourself in a box of your own creation. This is the comfort zone.
Tino.
Yes.
That was a fucking beautiful intro, bud.
Dude, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am so ready to be creeped out right now.
Dude. I can't. I'm in the zone.
I can't tell you how many times I had to listen to all of the hosts of the Twilight Zone.
I love those monologues.
I had a marathon it.
Dude, yeah. Like, yeah, if you all marathon the Twilight Zone, you just question, like, everything you thought was real. Like, what time?
Yeah.
I don't know. You get on a plane and you're like, what time period am I going to get off this plane on? I don't
ever. I also know this is the second time we had to record this gosh dang new episode. Fucking the first time we did it,
yeah,
we had no idea that Zencastr was a thing. So we're trying to like audio sync over Discord, and then like everyone has like another program recording audio. It was a shit show, but
we had like the Tachyon Field was going in the opposite direction, so we had to synchronize our phase pulses. And the real problem was Tino's shields were out of alignment the entire time, so we had to redirect.
Going crazy.
Yeah, we had to redirect power from like the sub shields.
Dude, I was like rerouting things from life support. It was awful. Oh, by the way, did you guys know that when somebody transports in Star Trek, the transporter kills that person and creates a copy of them?
Recombines from a saved copy.
So, yeah. What?
Yeah, I remember I've had this conversation with some people before.
No, they don't.
It does.
Quick save. It does a quick save. And then they just basically get disintegrated and then reintegrated the copy. Each time you get,
they're not even like made out of the same matter. It's different
what
atoms.
What the fuck?
Bro? Yeah, yeah. So it's a running joke in the respawn stations in Borderlands. It's just like, try not to think about the fact that you're not actually yourself anymore. The very first time this happened, you actually died.
it's the
that's wild.
It's the reason the food. What was it called?
The replicators.
Yeah,
the
replicator. It's basically a replicator.
They pull from the same set of atoms, so would they deconstitute the humans on the transporters? Those atoms go into the same pool that they would then use for the... Well, really, they just turn them into
energy.
We can't
do a whole entire fucking goddamn Star Trek intro.
But what I'm saying is,
the first one coming back,
but it's like,
for everyone's locked in their houses from quarantine. It's
I don't
like bad
want them
Star
to be
Trek.
In the comfort zone. I'm trying to get them out of their comfort zone so they can start to listen to something different.
Go grocery shopping.
There's the hook.
Now going grocery shopping is getting outside of your comfort zone. Good luck out there.
Yeah. Right. That all right, guys. So welcome to the Cutting Mat podcast. It's been a while. It's been a hot minute. Obviously, there's a lot of crazy shit happening in the world.
Yeah.
And
it's been a bit nuts.
Yeah. We figured out how to record together with the same quality, but not have to be in the same room together. We're trying to practice our social distancing and you know, staying at home when we can, all that fun shit. But to my God, I guess
it's
now
up and
below
down
me.
Now. It's up below, and down.
It's up
right?
and down.
Yeah.
below me, I've got Brandon.
Oh, hey, I'm Brandon.
Below him in physicality, not in quality.
Wait.
Wait, what?
In physicality.
Or physicality on our virtual Zen.
No, no, no. Let's roll with that.
Joel's been sitting on my lap the entire recording. That is bad social distancing.
It's great.
Don't do that. Actually, what's really interesting is that since we're social distancing, we are all in our own comfort zones at home, but recording this way is outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's definitely new for us, for sure.
It's fine.
Who you got below you, Brandon?
I'm Brandon. I do mecha genre on Instagram, mechagenre.com. Below me, there's a guy named Bailey.
I'm Bailey. I'm below Brandon. on this
just we're all
Zen,
sitting on each other's
Zen
laps.
Thingy. I go by Kamau_Zeta on Instagram. You know, catch me on there sometime. And I'm not sure who's below me. I'm on a different webpage right now, but Tino.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hello there. I'm Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. This is all out of order. I'm not comfortable with this at all. Well,
you, you just creep us out with so your intro.
You're
so
not in your comfort zone?
I am not in my comfort zone. Actually, hilariously enough, the one below me is Joel.
There we go. Oh, shit. Huh. And it's your boy Joel. Like, if you watch Mechanism, Uncle Ricky, a.k.a. DJ Stinky Nuts, if you got Truck Nuts, let him fucking hang.
Truck Nuts McGee, I think you also.
Truck
for a
Nuts
while.
McGee. Yeah. But as you probably fucking guessed from the intro, which again, done by the beautiful sign off boy Tino, we're talking about comfort. We're talking about doing stuff outside of what we normally do. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, that's happening right now. But we're going to focus, of course, on the hobby side of that. So Brandon, like, dog, what do you got going on? You had a list. You always have a list.
I have a list, and the reason why I have a list is because I can't think of anything to say because that's outside of my comfort zone. So I've got a couple of topics. We will talk about the topics, but I wanted to, like, generally introduce the concept of a comfort zone because that's it's kind of a weird amorphous thing that doesn't really physically exists except for, like, a, I don't know, a comfortable chair. That's a different type of comfort. Comfort zones are sort of, have you ever, and I think that I can relate to this. I know for a fact that Bailey will relate to this, and Joel, you will relate to this in a way. Tino's stuff is very different, and you'll see why I didn't include Tino in that list. Have you ever, like, just made a whole bunch of Fetty suits, like, over and over again, Fetty suit after Fetty suit? And you just get into a groove and you just want to, like, make, hey, I'm just going to make another gym. Oh, look, another gym variant. Hey, look, another, a third gym variant. I'm just going to make this Gundam. And they're, you're just making, like, a bunch of like white and off white with one or two primary accent colors. And they're all sort of
very angular and blocky,
blocky, flat surfaces. Joel, you ever do, like, a bunch of ice?
Fuck off, yeah. Bud. Yeah, no, that's, like, I'm actually ironically working on, yeah, I have an SD project that's winter themed, of course, but yeah, I get, so you're kind of, like, hinting at we should probably do something that's different with the intention of, you know, and knowing that it's different.
I'm kind of saying that, but at the same time I'm saying maybe not. Like, if you're really good at something and you love doing one thing, stay inside your comfort zone. That's how you get really good at that one thing, you know?
Yeah.
You find a comfort zone, you do things inside the comfort zone. If you want to generally expand your skills, it helps to get outside your comfort zone and do something, like, weird every now and then.
Yeah, for sure. Know, I mean, it also helps learn new skills.
Yeah, do a podcast with everybody sitting on each other's laps. Like, that's the way to really get outside
Santa
your comfort zone.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Right. So before it's go wonderful. A little further into your beautiful fucking list, because
I will send you a list of lists. I have a list of all the lists I want to cover. Also, I've got a list of Doc.con.
Shower me in lists.
Yeah. One of the lists for Doc.con is how to make lists about documentaries that you want to make about conventions. So it's going to be real good.
Beautiful. One of the other things we're talking about, though, is the Just Do It Badly motif, I guess. It's something we always talk about. It was introduced, our version of it, in the podcast. And I think it's sadly being taken to some people online as, like, the later version of Gunpla is Freedom, which we all know originally was just saying you can do whatever you want with the medium. It's yours to create and have an artistic view, not to be like, I'm lazy and, oh, Gunpla is Freedom. And unfortunately, that's what's happened. And
it's like Gunpla is Freedom. I'm doing my third, like, snap build kit that looks the same as my other snap build kits. If that's what you like to do, stay inside your comfort zone. But really, Do It Badly is about getting outside your comfort zone and trying a new technique that you've never tried before. So you don't know whether it's going to come out good or bad. So if you set out to try a new technique and do it badly, you're more likely to get over that initial anxiety associated with trying something new, and you're more likely to get out and do it.
Yeah, and the big thing too is we have always promoted is that we don't want you to put 0% effort into it. There's a difference between doing and trying.
When you're
doing
try.
Something, yeah, you got to try it. But hey, it may not be your best thing, and don't get over, you know, worked up about that. It's all about just doing it and trying the new thing. Mm-hmm. And it may be bad, it may be good. You don't fucking know. That's how I found out with the snow shit. I was like, I'm just gonna fucking try it, and then shit, it works. But now, like, to go back to what you're saying, is I'm kind of in this comfort zone. If I want to do something really cool and really fast, it's always a nice theme.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like, I want to do a clean build, but I haven't, you know, it's like foreign to me kind of thing.
It's not,
I
mean, like, your first ever clean build isn't going to be what you want it to be.
No,
can guarantee you that. Like, you're going to leave your comfort zone Ice Palace Frozen 2, and you're going to go into this, you know, Need for Speed Underground world.
Someone didn't watch Frozen 2, right?
I actually haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Frozen 1 was about cars, right? And then Frozen 2 is going to be about Federation dropping a colony on Side 3, which is actually a kind of an interesting swap. You talk about Frozen still?
Oh, no. Yeah, I watched it the other day, and it's about a little salamander. Like, none of the other characters are in it. It's just a salamander.
Spoiler alert.
What?
Did you accidentally
watch... I never watched Frozen.
Did you watch Ringo? Wait, what?
Yes,
yeah, that sounds like
yes,
Ringo.
It was Ringo. That's right. It wasn't a salamander. It was a chameleon.
It was a bunch of toys coming to life, and it was really fucking cool.
Dude, when I watched Frozen 2, like, they were trying to figure out who this Kaiser Sosa guy was.
That was the shit.
Toy Soldiers was that shit.
Good. That good movie.
It traumatized me as a small child, though.
Yeah, it's pretty traumatizing. That's why.
So, back to your saying about, like, the planning to fail stuff. It's kind of easier to understand. You mentioned me, Bailey, and yourself. How does it apply to, like, what Tino does in this scenario? Because we do have a lot of artistic listeners that aren't Gunpla builders.
So, Tino, do you ever feel like you're doing the same thing over and over again?
Only when I'm doing straight builds.
Are you asking him if he's insane?
Yeah. No, yeah. Wait. No, he might be expecting the same result.
No. Anytime I sit down and build something, I don't expect it to be. I don't expect it to be the same as anything else. You know.
But like, what about in product? your non-Gunpla art? Because you are a professional artist. Artiste.
That's a whole other bag.
Let's open that bag up, dog.
So
what do you got for lunch?
Yeah, so
what's in the bag, Tino?
So sometimes I'll be sitting there just drawing or working on like a digital piece or something, and it won't feel like I'm making any progress on like being better. Yeah. But then you know, there's ways to see that, but also maybe sometimes without realizing it, I've gone and I've tried something new. And after I'm done with it, I'll sit back and I'll look and be like, oh, hey, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. That's cool.
Yeah. Are you saying
that after you've done something and you've just done it, you've just gone through the process, even though you're not feeling good about it, you're taking the time to look back at it and then you kind of discover something that you did end up doing?
Yes.
Ah, reflection.
That's cool.
Brilliant.
Eh? That's not something that a lot of people are comfortable with. Like, if you build a kit, you take pictures of it, you put it on the internet, you don't like sit down and really think hard about what you did. Like, what do I like about this kit? And what do I hate about this kit?
Reflection is a crucial part of learning.
Yeah. Yeah. We are totally touching on the list, man.
I would like to point something out. I don't know what other people think about it, but I try not to set any kind of expectations. Whenever I sit down to work on anything, I expect to get a certain amount of something done. That's about it.
Ah, that's what Do It Badly is about, man. You think you nailed
it. And my thought process on it, I figured, might help some other people, because the way you guys describe it doesn't necessarily work in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to be like, it's just like expectations for something to happen. If you're going to do it badly, you're setting your expectations low.
Yes,
because
that's right.
You don't want to try something and expect it to work perfectly. You want to do it badly so that you get a feel for it to begin with.
That's a good description.
That was my two cents.
So
that
one.
that's how I approach Gunpla. That's how I approach like drawing in general.
Well, that's do it badly means like your expectations are low. You set out to do it badly and you surprise yourself.
You're not striving for perfection on that first hit. You're just getting yourself motivated to take the leap and do it the first time.
Yeah. Just committing to the act of, okay, I'm going to paint a car model kit. Because that's the next step for me. Ironically, you brought up the Fast and the Furious, but like, that is going to be like my quote unquote first, like really clean build. Because even like the Sofibi stuff I've been doing is not clean. It's just artistic.
So you got a gallon of gloss.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, you got to just dunk it in there.
I hope that this you could use this time, Joel, to become reacquainted with Future because it's one of my best friends.
Yeah, it's you know, the fun thing about it.
Step up to the SMS stuff, right?
No, yeah, I'm actually looking into the, I think it's like, what, 2K or whatever?
The 2K, the two-part one.
Yeah.
2K, but yeah, SMS has got some pretty nice gloss, but like, that's something that, this is all foreign to me. I've snapped, you know, cars together. I haven't done, like, it's a whole different genre of modeling compared to Gunpla, and like, I think it's you know, when you also intentionally do something nuts, you also intentionally find something I mean, at least to you nuts. I mean, I'm sure there's people listening, like a car model kit's not that bad, like whatever. You also intentionally find out other things that you like doing. For me, with the designer toy shit, like and repainting Sofibi shit, it was just like, fuck, this is fun. Like, I actually really enjoy this, and it's one of those things kind of fell into. I was like, oh, and all the skills I learned from Gunpla apply to this too.
Yeah.
So it's something where it's like intentionally in my brain, it's like, this is not the normal, but I took that leap outside that comfort zone. And now there's like a whole new like group of people and communities and stuff that I can like be involved with. And that's wild. That's just for making a weird decision to do something weird.
Dude. Okay. You've activated my trap card because that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. No.
Prepare to.
Beyblades. I'm going to.
Oh, shit.
The first item on the list that I made is plan to fail. Item number one, plan to fail, to get outside your comfort zone. And in parentheses, I wrote, do something intentionally nuts.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because if you really want to learn a new technique, maybe you can make one up by just doing something crazy.
That's kind of what I did. I didn't watch any videos. Yeah. I didn't watch anything. I was just like, what if I just layered all these crazy bright colors and then just put black over it? Oh, look, it works. Okay, cool.
We've been talking about this for a while now, but like, don't expect every model that you make to be an award-winning model.
Dude, I throw away some. I know people are pissed when they hear it. It's not so much of like, oh, it's fucked up. I can't take it back. I almost threw away that one of the recent SDs I worked on, but I'm going to strip it because there's a lot of, you know, good kit bashing shit on it. But minis, I've had minis and just like weird test pieces for Gundam where like it's something where just like getting so frustrated with it or getting so upset that just taking it and just like crushing the shit out of it in your hands and throwing it in a trash can kind of fucking resets you, man. Like, honestly,
it's a catharsis.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's just. Oh, but it's also, good feeling.
Master painters paint like what? How long does it take to become a master at something? Like you have to do the thing for 10,000 hours.
Yeah, like have like the apprentice, you know, master journeyman titles or process. Whatever.
Yeah, journeyman. But like as you're working through that, if you're going to become an expert, like a master painter, you are going to paint in your life hundreds of thousands of things. There's so
junk.
Many. Imagine if you save all of those shitty paintings. You got them like piled up in a crawl space somewhere. No, that's not how experts and masters do things. Sometimes you do stuff that you hate. You get rid of it. Try something else.
You don't have to keep everything as like, oh, yeah, this is the thing I fucked up. Like, keep one or two things like your first, you know, XYZ thing or a thing that you did fuck up. But like you want to keep it and be like, OK, I know not to do this, you know. But you don't have to have a stockpile of your fucking, to you, personal failures. You know?
I agree. Although I would reiterate, as Tino brought up, you can just do a thing and just take a minute to look at it. At least if you do find something, even if it's, you know, mostly trash, if you do find something that you can touch on and kind of record either mentally or whatever and come back to, you'll find that you have kind of a reference piece that you've made for yourself. Oh man, you know, like when we have our builds and you want to go back to a technique. I mean, if you don't have it written down, sometimes you don't really remember what you've done. But if you can have, you know, those pieces that you can go back to and see, like, oh, you know, that's how I did that. And that kind of, it's going to jog your long-term memory and bring it back to you, like exactly what you did there, you know, to get it.
That iterative development is the key behind any continuous improvement activity, from like process development in manufacturing lines to getting better at painting model cars or whatever. You can't get better at something unless you start not so good, and then everything gets a little bit better. And then you look at the old things and you say, hey, that wasn't so good. I'm going to make these little improvements, and then et cetera. Yeah. But you can still reflect and trash the piece. I find the trashing activity to be a catharsis, which makes me not so attached to future items. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm working on something,
tell you how many pages of paper I've thrown into the recycling bin, just like so mad.
I know, like, if it doesn't work, if I try something new that's totally out there and it doesn't work, I can always scrap it and try again. You know?
Welcome, folks, to the 23rd episode of Hoarders Podcast.
Welcome to, where this is, does the Gunpla spark joy?
Yes. Does it bring joy to your life? Throw it away.
Well, you said you activated a trap card to that. Was that the last trap card? Because usually, like Yu-Gi-Oh, there's like 10 other fucking trap cards or like some plot twist that lasts three seasons going on in there.
I got
because like
four
you
more.
Also you kind of activated your own trap card with what you put here in this list, because number two, sometimes those intentionally weird things that just happen to work kind of, you can win a contest with them, and it's fucking weird.
Yep. Number two on the list, plan to succeed, and by that we mean like try to enter a contest. Try to raise your skills to a level above where they previously were, and then go somewhere where you can compete, you know, where your ability will be judged by somebody who is an expert, is impartial, you know.
Is this the secret, the unlock code on the other side of do it badly is do it well?
Yeah, it's you flip it, and then you type in, you scratch off the thing, you know, and if you match three Doc.con logos, you win a free ticket. This is like the Dragon Ball Z method of getting outside of your comfort zone. Like, you're just like, oh, hey, if you're be Krillin and enter a tournament.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, I mean, that's something where that also kind of comes into a weird... entering contests are fucking weird, man. Especially if you're doing it by yourself. Because... it's, you know, when we do like the big the Odeo in Richmond, Virginia, when we would prepare people for that and getting them ready, like building their model kits, they have that support from other people that are like, cool, yeah, let's do this thing. But that may not be the case for everyone else out there. And we talked about this in like the IPMS episodes and some of the contest ones, is that don't be so hung up on like, I'm not gonna do this. Don't worry about, you know, oh, did I not win because of this thing? Did I not win because of this? Like, when you ask a judge like myself and the rest of us in here, you know, why didn't I win, or why did I get second, third, or why did I even get first? Don't listen to whys, you know. Of, you know, a judge is not gonna be like, well, you missed a panel line here and a seam line there and this, that, that here. We're gonna tell you different things that we caught or that caught our eye, and some negatives as well. You know, you can sum up saying, hey, you know, there's some seam lines, but if your first reaction is like, where, or, you know, that doesn't make any sense,
that's not possible, that's impossible,
you're not listening,
that can't be.
That can't be. Well, guess what, bud? It was, because that's why you got what you got in the placing. So there's a reason why asking judges and all that stuff, especially when you're a first time person, if you come in and you don't win, don't get upset by that, but ask, you know, what can I do to improve? You know, well, why didn't my model kit win?
And don't we've be vindictive. About, yeah. I mean, I know that we've talked about that before, but this is how it ties into the comfort zone. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Asking it's for uncomfortable criticism. For me. It's yeah. uncomfortable for the both of us because I'm just like,
dude, it's because your MS, his leg fell off. Like, I don't know, in the middle of judging.
Yeah, it's something where we try to be not like positive to the point where it's putting blinders on you to where you think you're God modeler, but it's just like honest, constructive criticism with like, hey, it's your first contest. Don't worry about this stuff. But it's also showing that you have a lot of, you know, you have a lot of interest. You have a lot of reach. It shows that you really want to kind of try and plan to succeed at something, whether that is. And, you know, it doesn't have to be just a contest either. I mean, Tino, like, you get commissions all the time and you have to kind of plan to succeed to make those commissions of whatever, you know, character or concept the people want. So like, how is that for you to do that? Like every time you draw something that's not for you.
Well, is that when you get a commission of something you've never drawn before, do you feel comfortable taking on those commissions?
Oh no, absolutely not. There's a lot of research, and sometimes you can't find characters from certain angles that you're trying to go for. So like, you got to wing it, and then
do they spark? I guess it's different depending on, you know, what they're asking, but generally, do you get kind of like an energy when somebody's asking you to do something that is something you haven't done before?
Oh yeah, for sure. Cause it's exciting to try something new. And maybe sometimes it's like a character, that I had been wanting to, but never got the chance to, or hadn't had the time to, or,
didn't have a reason.
I also really enjoy drawing other people's like original characters. And whenever somebody's like, oh, this is my OC that I use to represent myself online, I'm like, hell yes. Oh my God, yes. Give it to me now. Dude, I will make it.
I will bring this thing to life.
Because they're the ones whose faces light up the most.
Yeah.
Once they get the final product.
Yeah, and totally get that.
Even if I had to
bring it to life for them.
Yeah, and even if I had to go through like 10 pages to get it done, like, it's worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I got another. There's something else on this list that is relevant to your drawing, Tino, and I know that we talked about it before. We talked about, your routines and, like, your hobby setups and everything. Doing a hobby in a different location, a different physical location. Like, you've told us previously that you draw sometimes at like coffee shops.
Yes.
And I mean, drawing is a lot easier to move from location to location than gunplay. Cause like, you know, you go to a Starbucks and you like pull out a master grade kit and spread it out over the table. I mean, maybe that'll work. It might be kind of fun, but like, if you want to get outside of your comfort zone, you can change your vibe by changing your physical location.
Yeah, change your venue. Well.
How does that work for you?
It's most of the time when someone's doing something different in a public space like a Starbucks, people love it. Like, a lot of people don't, a lot of like Joe Blows don't know about Gunpla. So like, you sit down, you start building like a high grade or something in a Starbucks or in a cup of Joe or something, people will come over and ask you. Like, hey, what's that?
I had that. I was had the car in for a routine, like, you know, checkup at the Subaru dealership, and I sat down. I was building an Exia, and I had ton of just the work because I was on the second floor. It was mostly office areas, like open, you know.
That's what you do at the car dealership? You build like Exias? I just clip my toenails and like peel garlic.
Just kind of. Where's the free snacks?
Can I use your microwave? I need to prime these Brussels sprouts for grilling. It's gonna smell great.
They got all of that. They got all that. But it's been a thing. Like anytime I go there, I go ahead and bring a kit and just sit down and build. It's an interesting experience. You usually have people coming up to you. But I like the last time I did it, it definitely had a lot of them. Some of them recognized what it is. Other ones were curious about it. You know, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty powerful.
There was, I can't remember his fucking name right now, but there's a couple builders actually in New York that would do that. And it's kind of their way of advertising for their build meets.
That's a good idea.
Because they like, you know, you walk in and you're like, if I saw someone building Gundam that I didn't know in North Carolina coffee shop, I'm bugging out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, we got this thing at Harry Teen and his podcast and he's on our websites and, you know, all that shit. But like Joe Blow coming in that sees this is like, oh, that's fucking cool.
What is that?
You do
that?
This
that's
with
awesome.
Other nerds?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you do this in a bigger building with other nerds and shit. And like, that's a thing. And like, I mean, that's another cool thing too, is like, we're going to start seeing this hopefully after all this craziness going on, is that a lot of local hobby stores are doing contests. A lot of them are online with their, you know, with their groups on Facebook or in their brick and mortar stores, but that's a great way to get outside of your comfort zone. And also trying to plan to succeed is because one, you're going to a build meet with, in a sense, maybe strangers. You maybe don't know any of these people, and you're also planning to do something for a contest or like a little group build or some shit like that. So that kind of plays into local shit too.
Yeah. You could get, if you do your contest at the same place every time, like some people are into Gunpla contests, but they only ever entered contests at Hager 18, for example.
Yeah. And we have so many people like that.
Yeah. But like that might be in their comfort zone.
Fortunately, like we've expanded, so we do like ODO and RDU as well.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
They do end up going to those.
Now they do.
Yeah,
it may even be more beneficial for them to enter more and more varied and different contests, because the more experience they get from all these different like contest metas is going to give them even more experience overall and learning about what people like and like what they don't like, and then maybe they'll see somebody there or meet somebody online that they you know, they really like a technique, they can start to talk to that person. That's the kind of getting outside of the comfort zone that
it's kind of your point that in it, right? It's kind of like an accelerated
like an
accelerated growth hormone or something for getting good in combination.
There's
in combination though with what Joel said about what do you ask when you're there? Yeah. You're not asking what you did wrong, but you know, like Joel said, ask about what you can improve, because hey, if you got let's say so ODO is in February and then, you know, the RDU is going to be end of this year or something, but you asked about what improvements you could make. That's a good chunk of time there to actually respond to that and have something that is, you know, more in line with the feedback you got and, you know, with the progression of skills by the time RDUCon comes around.
You actually take that advice and then you go and freaking do it. That's the hard part. You know,
yeah.
That's the part where it kind of separates the people that are taking, they want to take this thing they're doing seriously, or the people that just, they think they do a thing and it looks good to them and that, you know, that's where they want to leave it. Or they just don't want to do much further than that. You know, you can't force everyone to be a master builder and join a contest and do all this stuff, but this is all stuff you can apply to fucking anything, you know?
It is. Yep. I mean, not just model kits, even like you could do, like model kits, architectural modeling and all these other hobbies. Yeah. But even things like having a steady hand could apply to drafting. Like these are just useful things. I saw something online that I thought was interesting and relevant to Bailey's last point. It was a guy who was doing a bunch of panel line scribing totally freehand with a mechanical pencil and an X-Acto knife.
That I can't even look at those.
Yeah.
But that's how I would do it.
Right. And that's how I used to do it, because it was easy and those were the tools I had. And I thought it looked pretty good.
Are you talking about drawing them or actually scribing them in?
Well, you draw them on with a mechanical pencil and then you go back with an X-Acto knife and scribe them without any kind of ruler or anything. You just freehand scribe them out. And honestly, the final product looked pretty good because the guy was fantastic at weathering and he had pretty good color modulation on the parts. But I know, like I knew from the zoom in pictures that
there's going to be some unevenness, but
right. And it, like, it wouldn't necessarily measure up to
it would measure, which was, but the design, and that's, I definitely envy the design people that can just freehand that, and then also you know, use the blade or the chisel and freehand that in. I definitely admire it, but
I think it's like,
makes my blood curl.
It's like two different kind of camps and like thought process for that. It's like two different ways, because like I was kind of like not busting Tim's and Chris Pav's balls mechanism, but like they are so precise in measuring and geometry. I'm just like, oh no, he asked the question. He's like, how do you guys, you know, prevent parts from rubbing with joints and you can still move them? I was like, good, I don't question. I glued it all together. It's a statue to me.
Right.
I mean, that's how I view it. It's a solidary thing. If I want an action figure, I'm gonna go play with an action figure.
But that will 100% solve the problem. If you make a stationary pose, it solves your problem because no joints move.
Nothing needs to move.
Right.
You know, I don't have to worry about, okay, is this half a millimeter off or half a millimeter too light? Because that's another thing too, is like judges don't have tape. We're not measuring this shit.
And
you know?
Judges aren't gonna repose your kit.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. You can't move your kit when it's on the table. It's in a static pose to begin with. But I know that's the added like badass factor to this kind of shit, is that you can, for this contest, have it in this pose and the next one do something different, and like you're allowed these different options. But yeah, it's that weird, like, you have people that make amazing panel lines with accurate detail, perfect symmetric, you know, grooves, lines. But I'm also, on the other side of it, there's amazing dudes just freehanding this shit, just going willy-nilly, and it looks, they're on the same page.
I think if you do it quick, you keep the same mind frame when you do the entire kit. Like, imagine if you could panel line an entire kit in one sitting. Your brain is on the same track the entire setting, so you find that your panel line design is more coherent throughout the piece.
Not only that,
there's an aspect of like scribing. Like, for me, you have to get in the zone.
Yeah, you do.
And you know, sometimes you keep
that mind track.
I know Tino can relate to this, because sometimes you're feeling it and it's working, and other times you need to know you need to take a break and do something else because you're not quite in that.
Yeah.
You know. Perhaps the zone is too on the nose. You're in that kind of flow, you know.
That's true for decals, for scribing, honestly, for painting as well. I have had to redo things. Yeah, like if I'm not feeling a panel line, but I do the piece anyway, I'm going to redo that panel line like 100% of the time. I know for a fact I am not going to be happy with it.
I've got a high grade that I started painting a while ago that I pretty much threw into the back of my closet because the painting didn't come out the way I thought it would.
Get out of here.
I was so mad. I was just like, I know this is my fault, but I'm blaming you. And it's just been sitting back there for so long.
You're not my mom. Into the closet.
You're not my dad.
But I mean, that was a different color combination that I had tried to do.
Mr. Gabaldi was my father.
Oh my God. All this shit's like, it's all very subjective too. This isn't the fucking, we're not the Holy Bible for this shit. Like,
well, but like, it's totally subjective. Yeah. What looks good?
You know. It should be, I could say preface, but we've already started talking about it. Like, this is all our points of views. This is how we approach these things.
Oh yeah. We've talked about it before on the podcast.
I think our listeners know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I mean, we're first time listeners,
there might be some first time listeners out there. Who knows?
This is the word.
Yeah, to
this
all first time
listeners. If you don't do exactly what we say,
this is the way, my listeners.
Now buy our snake oil.
There is no other way. There is only the way, the cutting mat way.
Oh shit!
Or else. or else is the disclaimer. No, but that's a bad disclaimer.
Well, talking about how, like, you know, people come to us as you know, as a Vice, or, you know, I like to think of us as, you know, like, a, I don't know, an advice podcast a little bit for scale modeling.
I think we are
teaching people what we go through is something that helps us get outside of our comfort zone, because we don't, I mean, especially now, we don't have a lot of opportunities to do our workshops and to do classes and all that fun shit. And the main reason why we all love doing this shit is because we get outside of our comfort zone and we're allowed, like, we keep learning knowledge and better ways to do it. Because I'll tell you what, doing something in front of yourself, you kind of forgive a little bit of mistakes, like, mm-hmm. Whatever. Doing the thing in front of 30 people on a huge projector when everyone's very hyper focused on what you're doing, you learn very fast. Okay.
So,
all right, guys, fucked up.
Dude, comfort zone list item number 4, volunteer to teach someone else.
So here's the thing. So here's the thing. Okay, I'll click the thing. I just did a seminar for my, kind of jobby job thing that I do.
Wait, you have a job?
Jobby job?
Yeah.
Jobby do we? Job. Do we? Are we all supposed to have jobs? Or
yeah,
just Bailey.
What? Okay, good. Just
which you guys kids. Have jobs. I got a jobby job.
Bailey, are you still putting me as a dependent on your taxes?
you're under 26, right? Just say yes.
Yeah. Just say yes for the audience.
The IRS thinks so. Anyway. So I taught a workshop on studying, you know, online kind of stuff like that. And the key thing is what Brandon's about to spiel on right now, which is how do you prepare for something? Do you prepare just to get it done? Or do you prepare like you can teach it to someone? And the key is the best way to prepare is as if you're going to teach it to someone.
Hmm. Ideally, take it away, every Brandon. Time. Like, so here's the deal about teaching. When you teach someone how to do something, you are thinking in such a deeper level than you normally would if you're just setting out to do it. And yep. I like to use the example of driving in this case, because you can get in your car and turn on the car and then you're at work. Like,
yeah,
you could fully autopilot your entire brain throughout the entire drive. But if you're teaching someone how to drive, like, you got to be there, man. You got to be present.
Mm-hmm.
You might even like find mistakes that you've been making from driving your entire life.
Yes.
Because now you're thinking about it.
That's very true.
Yeah,
that's very true.
And, you know, Bailey and I, we do seminars sometimes on big screens, and like we teach the same technique two completely different ways. So, like we just mentioned, there's no right way to do things, and the way that we're teaching isn't the gospel of Gunpla, even though that's obviously a book that I'm going to publish. But first mecha genre says that there are 10 ways to do any one. Yeah, the satanic Bible of Plamo. Don't huff that glue. That's rule number one.
Don't huff the glue. Whatever you do,
don't huff too much of the glue. Yes,
that might be a good idea. I actually was a driver's ed assistant teacher in high school, and after that, fast forward,
you're saying you're still wanted in the county.
Oh shit, right?
That's how it works.
One of my co-workers was like, she was younger, going to the military stuff, and she never really got her driver's license. And she needed to, and I was like, I'll teach you. I was like, I used to do it in high school. Like, I can, you know, do it then.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I got in the car. I was like, all right, give me like 20 minutes because like, this is fucking weird. Cause like I have a routine and now
think about it again.
Yeah. It's fucking weird. But
yep.
I learned a lot from teaching her because like, I was showing her some stuff that was like, that wasn't wrong, but I was like, oh, okay, it might be easier if we do it this way. And I was like, oh shit, it's easier if I do it that way. You know, fuck. All right, cool.
You go through every individual item and find out whether it's necessary or not. You think about why you're doing every individual things. Like we had a discussion about clear coat. Like how many layers of paint should you put on a model? And the answer is
you should put the number of layers of paint on a model that works the best for you.
Yeah, as least as possible.
there's no golden rule. Because
theoretically, as few as possible is a fine rule. But if I can add two layers and get a better result to myself,
that's
gonna do it.
Machine creator painting. That's between Max style and Lincoln Wright style. One is a fuck ton of paint. One's not a lot of paint.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have good results.
Very true.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Everyone just kind of thought about that for a second. Like,
wow. Jeez.
God damn it.
You just blew my mind.
Laying some truth bombs.
Truth bombs, son.
Well, this is actually also why it's important SPD. To like talk to other people about this stuff, just in general, even beyond teaching, because comfort zone item list item zone number item five item
yeah,
is
good?
That you should is just to hang out with other people while you do your hobby.
Yeah.
They don't have to be doing, but see, they don't have to be doing your hobby also. It's just good to have other people and be interacting with them. Because first, it changes your mindset. So it's the same thing as like working in a different environment. If there are other people there doing other things or that you're talking to, you change your mindset. So you change the way you think about the hobby. That's critical.
Fine print for this episode in the current time.
Was zooming
hang out
way far.
With people in a safe distance or online.
Oh, we know for a fact that hanging out with people in this hobby doesn't mean in person, especially now. Yeah.
That's something like real quick is right now. I mean, it was a thing before all this crazy shit, but the amount of like virtual build meets and hangouts and live streams and group live streams and all this shit is insane because you got to think about it. Everyone that's live streaming, whether it's by themselves or with other people, they are working with other people. They're putting themselves outside their normal comfort zone because most of us all build by ourselves.
Right.
We don't have people watching and talking to us in a chat room. And Phil_build stuff. He will just, it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. And if he's up, you'd be like, hey, let's do a video chat and just build and hang out. And like,
that's cool.
You get outside your comfort zone because like you're asking questions about what they're doing and you're showing them, oh, do this and you know, all this crazy shit. So there's plenty of ways to do it online. And there's so many places to do it online right now. It is booming.
Tino, do you do this for drawing?
Sometimes actually, my figure drawing group has started doing live streams now. Everybody just pins the models, video stream to their screen and we have at it. And then afterwards we all just kind of hang out and chill and draw each other or like throw ideas at one another and see what sticks.
That's I've seen artists have taken, like artist pen pals to.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, share ideas and things like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Dude, you get feedback almost instantly, really, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, our buddy Robert Wilson, he does like really cool Kaiju and Gundam Martin and all that stuff. He starts streaming on Twitch. And it's like the best feedback chamber because you're just drawing, hanging out, and people are like, oh, do this, oh, what are you doing there? And when you got to explain what you're doing to someone, you're like, oh, okay, oh yeah, I guess that's how I'm doing it. I could do it, you know, this way, or you know, blah blah blah. It's good having, I mean, even shit, even doing the podcast with you guys, like usually we would show up beforehand and you know, Bailey would have a project with him, or I would show you guys the one I'm working on the studio, and like I can get feedback right away, and that's the most powerful tool at your disposal.
And like someday, Bailey and I are going to have like a throwdown argument about paint just in general, because I think we look at paint very differently. So I am looking forward to that day.
I look at lack of paint better than you do.
Yeah, you absolutely do. You definitely. We have totally different opinions about a lot of different paint stuff. And I think it's going to be that'll be a very interesting bonus episode. Brandon and Bailey yell at each other about paint.
for 5 hours.
For 5 hours minimum. 5 hours minimum. If it goes longer, that's totally fine. I just think it'll take at least 5 hours.
We need to license the Doom theme song for that.
Yeah, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, there is one thing. I feel like the Gunpla community does it already. sometimes, especially if it's between someone like Joel and Phil_build stuff, there's a thing called Art Fight. The artist community, mostly based in Twitter, I think. So pretty much like people sign up and they are given other artists to start throwing art at. So like they'll do fan art of their characters, or they'll just like draw each other or something, and then they have to the other people have to retaliate.
Wow. Nice.
Have That's you something
okay. in art I kind of like that. That's dope.
If you don't want to answer on a podcast, Tino, have you ever been part of an art fight?
Not in like an official capacity. No, I don't have to.
I see. Do you have to we have to blur your voice and stuff? Blur your voice. We have to blur your voice.
I'm thinking Sharks versus Jets.
I was part of an art fight once.
What do you think it is? Like an underground cockfight where it's like two scrawny nerd dudes just throwing paint at each other?
Roosters.
Like the first rule of first rule of Art Fight Club is don't pre-shade in black. Second rule is don't talk about Art Fight Club. Yeah.
To be fair, that is a rule. Don't do that. Don't do that shading in black.
That's the only official word that we keep with.
That is Bible. That is word of mine.
That was my comfort zone for a long time, though. I used to appreciate in black because I didn't know anybody. Because
it's easy. Yeah, yeah. It's easy, but it's boring.
Yep. It's boring. It doesn't look good. Like, it looks... it's so muted.
On white, it looks like you're trying to do really faded chipping.
Well, it also kind of just looks weirdly weathered, like oil stained or something.
Yeah, but in weird spots, not in the normal spots.
It is kind of interesting.
I guess it could work if you went for something really grungy.
We have a lot of YouTubers
grungy.
We have a lot of YouTubers that do like decent, you know, like really nice paint jobs, or mm-hmm. they're cracking them out and stuff like that, but then they like throw black pre-shading everywhere and it's like, this would look so good video.
I was watching their video.
Yeah,
I get that turned off. I'm like, you did all this work,
and it's just like muddied out, like completely. You know?
You're like, this is gonna be a really good video, and then they're like, you know, they whip out the airbrush, and they're like, yeah, that's gonna be great, and they start like mixing up the paint to the correct dilution, and you're like, that's the right dilution, yeah, that's fantastic. And they pull out the black paint, and they start appreciating with the wrong colors, and you're like,
it's like white armor, and then you know. It's like, this is gonna be such a great thing, like exactly like Brand saying. And then there's like a sea of black pre-shading everywhere. It's like it's another like super finish.
It'll be with like super vibrant, bright colors.
That's what I'm talking about. Like the yellows
and
the reds. And it's like, these colors could be so much brighter, so much more vivid. And if you want to tone it down, you could do that with After Effects. You can, you know, you can throw filters and washes and all that kind of stuff. But to just to bring it down from the very beginning, there's nowhere to go but down from there.
It's tainted.
It's like you bring the slider all the way to the bottom. Yep. Here we are.
Exactly.
And then you rendered it. And now you're trying to edit it.
Then you rendered it.
Can't do that, dog.
Yeah, we'll just put another clear coat on it.
Wait, hold on. That's a thing. Joel, no, I mean, like, lighting is everything.
No, it is.
Lighting is key.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, like, people can get away with not pre-shading because they can just use, if they're using a correct toy photography setup or a setup for a temperature scale model, they can have different lights hit different areas that give the natural pre-shade that have the blues reflecting on the whites. But when you have pre-shaded black and then you have weird lighting, it looks weird.
It doubles up the weird.
Yeah, it's just too weird.
You've lost all the tone, like on a red part. You know, if it's gonna naturally fall into the kind of the shadow of, you know, you have your lighting, you have, you know, two or three what do you call them, you know, soft lights or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a shadow somewhere that red is just going to go straight to black. Like, that's right. You know, immediately.
And the weird thing is, if you have, if you're one of the people out there that have a photo tent box, your light is so flooded that are those pre-shades coming from? Like, why do you have like shadows, you know, lower to the legs when the image you're taking is of it very bright? You're not creating a scene. You're not selling a sense of scale. It has these, it just stands out way too more. But if you had a blues and the colors that are on the suit, it looks more natural because it's in a more natural light setting. The black panel lining was used to represent a lot of, at least in my mind, was used to represent a lot of the harsh lighting you see the Gundams in the show. There's only one light in the fucking hangar bay. They don't have 30 floodlights on the goddamn mobile suit, in there. it's weird.
It's kind of like, I always figured that it was
Zenithal just, Light Gang till I die.
Zenithal Light Gang. Hashtag that's, Zenithal Light Gang.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
We've been talking about this for 6 hours, so I have a suggestion. I think that our audience probably wants to hear a supply drop.
Yeah, let's go to the supply drop. Welcome to the supply drop. This is the part of the show where we talk to you about some wonderful companies that we work with. And like, unlike most podcasts where we talk about Casper mattresses or weird toothbrushes or fucking whatever's going on in the world, we try to keep it very hobby related. And one of our first main sponsors is USAGundamStore.com.
USAGundamStore is a fantastic place to get Gundam models, especially now when, you know, there's going to be some impacts to the economy probably. And it's very important that we all support local businesses. So especially USA Gundam Store. Yep, they're absolutely a local business. You know, they'll ship right out of their warehouse
fast.
Fast. Very fast. Oh,
yeah. Here's the thing, everyone. I know everyone is used to Amazon 2-day shipping. That's a luxury item. And as you're probably experiencing right now, there's some delays in shipping.
Right.
Please, 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 as someone that runs a business that is primarily online shipping, please be patient with the staff of these companies and your postal workers. And
they're going through the same thing we are.
They're going house to house and dealing with everyone in the world right now.
Yep. That's a very hazardous situation to be in. And
So if something's a day late, don't worry about it. There's a lot worse situations you could be in than your plastic model kit being 1 or 2 days late. But also speaking of that, if you're on USAGundamStore.com, go check out SMS Paints. The scale model supply is run in Australia. Again, a one-man local business there doing some amazing shit. And USA Gundam Store got a restock, so go check them out. He's been one of the first and a long-time sponsor of the show. And then also check out the Mecha decals from our boy Child of Mecha over at USAGundamStore.com.
Dude, those decals are fantastic.
Dude, they're so badass. They're amazing.
Exactly what I'm looking for like, you know, whenever you have a little rivet and you want to like put a little warning next to it. It's exactly the warning I wanted.
And it's spelled correctly.
Rivet might be hot.
Being spelled correctly helps a lot.
It's not Kushan. Hot. Yeah,
but sometimes you want to say Kushan hot waffle, Joel. Have you ever, you've never had a hot waffle?
That's true.
You need to put more hot waffles on your kids. I'll send you some pizza.
The waffle is hot.
No, it's do not eat Kushan. It's Kushan.
Kushan.
Gah. Oh, one more note about both Mecha Decal, again, another local business, SMS Paints, like Joel said. Yes, it's a local business. The cool thing about SMS Paints is that they are acrylic lacquers. So while Bailey and I will scream at each other for 5+ hours about, you know, whether or not to use acrylic or lacquer, SMS is just stuck in the middle looking back and forth and wondering why its parents are fighting. Right.
And I fucking love using SMS. I'm going to plug my YouTube channel here real quick. If you want to see what they can look like and crazy color shift and all that shit, I just did a Shin Godzilla. There's a whole 4K video up there. Ooh, watch that.
Are you going to paint the rest of the Godzilla or just the leg part there? Just the shin.
The shin.
Just the shin. Just the shin. That's all it gets.
Okay.
And everything else is just naked. And yeah, of course, right. Our last sponsor here is Holy Mountain Printing. It is the company we have here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Patrons, by the time this goes up, your shirts are either out or they have been going out. You can find all kinds of cool badass shit on there, including the True Gunplug clothing line that has metal mixed with plastic. It's all kinds of cool mecha designs done in death metal and black metal themes. And we have some pretty nifty Initial D stuff going on there and mm-hmm. a toy store. So we're bringing on the weirdo model kits, Initial D cars, really old SD Gunpla kits and art books and fun shit. So let's head out of the supply job and go back to the comfort zone.
Or
I feel like it's like Wayne's Row. It's like
but are we leaving the flashback or entering the flashback? Oh my god.
So we just left the supply job. And now we're into the comfort zone, but like it's a Welcome 2-dimension back. Shift, and I don't know how it works. You said it's something a 3-dimension shift. Yeah, but I feel like if we were in the supply drop and we couldn't come back in there, I would be in there for way too long, and that may not be a good thing.
That kind of
applies
thing.
To the comfort zone, right?
If you, everybody, if you're like me, a human on Earth, most people for your entire life have been telling you to try to just get outside your comfort zone. Right. Your life will be so much better if you try to just get outside your comfort zone. It's very important to get outside your comfort zone. It's a great place to be. You never want to stay in your comfort zone. Those people are full of shit. And let me tell you why. Being outside of your comfort zone
is stressful.
It takes expenditure of mental energy. It is stressful, man.
Stress ages you.
It stress ages God you both right psychically and physically. What was I talking about? Right. Stress.
See all that stress?
Brandon, you're stressed.
God, I am mentally 10,000 years old. The thing about the comfort zone is that it's comfortable because it is relaxing. It is comfortable because it is not a stressful environment. So if you spend most of your time outside of that comfort zone, you may find that you become exhausted or burned out or like Bailey said, age 10,000 years. And these are not good situations to have if you want to be productive and also want to continue to learn in your hobby.
I'm also thinking in my field, having equilibrium, you want to have equilibrium.
Yeah, know, that's a fantastic movie also. Sean Another Bean, is... Christian Bale.
Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, yeah. That yeah. is good, yeah. That was gunfu, right?
I mean, Sean Bean dies, but
the
like,
hallway
it's Sean
scene
Bean,
where
so.
He tosses yeah. the clips out to the end of the hallway and just goes through all those dudes and ends by re-cartridging. Reloading, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
re-cartridging?
I don't know, guys. I just de-cartridged all over these people, and I'm going to re-cartridge.
I can imagine Tina in World War IV. Re-cartridging!
No. I'm thinking, what was the time crisis? Re-cartridge. Yeah. Re-cartridge.
Reload. Re-cartridge. Reload. Grenade.
No, explosion ball.
Explosion ball.
Here's
Round
your
blow
ball.
Up thing.
The old boom ball.
Brett, here's another one boom to bring you ball. Back. Isn't there a thing about in physics with like noble gases or stable gases and having the right or stable amount of atoms and whatnot? Or
yeah,
is it atoms? It's electrons.
Well, it's electrons in orbitals. Full orbitals are stable. And the trick with orbitals is if your orbital isn't full, then there is an energy state which may be more favorable for you as an atom, a personified sentient atom that is wondering what is going on.
Where are all my dogs at?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Dogs in this case being electrons. So if you think of yourself as an atom, when you're in your comfort zone, you have your outer orbital is full, and that's a very good place to be. If you start to spend electrons and you do chemical reactions, you're going to start expending energy, and you may find yourself in a low energy, less efficient state. Not a good place to stay in if you're a human and not an atom. Does that help? Or does that make everything worse?
Humans atoms? Isn't everything
some of them
an atom?
Are named Adam, but some of them are also named Scott, and three of them are named Joel.
Only three?
Yeah.
Only
Fuck
three.
Yeah. Finally, I get third place.
There can only be one.
There can only be one, the rule of two.
Oh, no.
No, yes.
So, oh, no. So what are we getting? Yes. Palpatine, did you misread the Sith founding documents?
No. You can't read.
Okay. Yes. So you have a coronavirus briefing in an hour. Are you prepared?
No.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever heard of the great tale of Dark Plagueis the Wise? He did not wash his hands. He didn't have the power. He needed. No.
Oh, Anakin, no, it's over. I have the Purell.
I have the Purell, Anakin. You underestimate my power. And he's got a cloth mask on. Oh, boy.
May the soap be with you, my son.
May the soap be with you. I think we have conquered the comfort zone, but I think we need to get out of the comfort zone.
Well, some closing remarks before we leave the comfort zone, because it can be stressful out there. Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
Don't spend too much time outside of your comfort zone, especially in a, minor, serious, major global crisis. And also, don't pre-shave with black. Did I cover everything?
Everything you need to survive in the world.
Did you cover not pre-shading with black?
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Not pre-shade with black.
Yes. There we go.
Okay.
Did just you have something sure to add? Know. Tino, did you have a note about pre-shading?
Not yeah, actually, don't, what's the color that's the absence of all colors?
Oh, are you talking about, black?
Yes, black. Don't pre-shade with black.
That's good advice, actually. Yeah. I've never heard that before. I like it.
That's good.
I challenge everyone out there to not pre-shade with black. Pre-shade with other colors. And
challenge.
Hey, challenge accepted.
Get comfortable with the color wheel.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Finding those ones that cross over and they kiss each other. Oh boy.
I really like going to Adobe Chef Color Baldi. And playing with the color wheel on there. That's a really fun one to do.
Ah, yeah.
There's some
they've
companies
got all of
too.
The different things.
I gotta remember. I don't know if it's Green Stuff that has one. There's one company that if you buy paint or something with you, they actually give you a physical color wheel. And having a physical one is game-changing. I'm actually going to buy one.
Dude.
I'm going to try and find a local art store or something that's still operating online and try and buy a color wheel just to have one physically.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't hurt. There's some pretty good online ones. There's a phone one, but like they're all screens. It's nice to just have something physically that you can hold up in your same room lighting situation. Yep. But add that to your comfort zone.
Yeah, that's why we have the Pantone color sheets because we held out to the lighting. Yeah. It looks different than it does on a computer.
That's a good point. Yep.
All right. That's really cool. Tino, it's been a while, dog. Do we have any more last remarks? Any last words?
Any out words?
Outwards?
Just want to get off our chesticles?
There's not the only thing outwards is the danger of outside.
Oh,
I'm not going out there.
Oh, shit.
Not going
Tino,
out there.
Sign us off, that's dog. Get us out of here.
Okay.
That meme with the guy pointing to his forehead.
Taps forehead.
Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Cutting That Podcast. I'm Tino, also known as your sign-off boy, Big V Roman, all over the internet. I just did another imagination arc there. You can't see it, but it happened.
visual podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. to my supposed to be left is the one and only.
Who?
Bailey, that's supposed to be you. I'm imagining you guys sitting across from me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't inside your head for a second.
Yeah.
Why can't you read my mind?
Kamau _ Zeta on Instagram. To my he is usually to my left. Is Brandon.
Yeah, I could visualize that one. I am Brandon. I go by Mecha Genre on Instagram. MechaGenre.com is my website, which you can also find Instagram and also listen to all episodes of the Cutting Mat podcast. And also Doc.ConCon 2020. It's gonna be canceled. To my left,
contrary to rumors, not due to COVID.
Yeah, yeah, no. It wasn't due to COVID.
That's nothing to do with that, actually.
No.
COVID was helping us.
We had our budget, we needed $25,000 to make it happen, and we got zero, so that's a pretty big difference.
We actually owe money for that one, I think.
I do owe $15 for registering the domain. So to my two stories up and a little bit to the right, two states over is Joel.
Oh, shit. I didn't know I moved. It's your boy Joel, True Gumpa on TrueGumpa.com, HolyManPrinting.com. Fucking Uncle Ricky is my name, if you don't want to call me True Gumpa. And, you know, if you got truck nuts, just let them fucking drag.
Let your truck nuts drag.
Let your truck nuts drag.
True. No truer words have ever been spoken.
Yeah. Can I get... Oh, I mean, I said them. That's why.
Yeah, it was.
Can I get truck nuts for my initial D model kits?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I have a 3D model.
Dude, you can 3D
I was
going
to print out and put them on my first build.
Yes.
That's why I'm really trying to play this whole truck nuts thing. I've actually bought a lot of them. I wrote a truck nut emporium.
I was wondering why you had
down the street on the right.
Got a huge backlog.
Yeah, I have a backlog of truck nuts.
Like when we record normally, we sit on boxes full of truck nuts. There's no chairs in your kitchen.
No, just steel balls, yeah, just boxes of them, and rattles. It's terrible to edit.
Yeah,
terrible. But thanks you guys for.
He's a special button on our on Reaper that is
truck nut removal. PSD.
Oh, speaking of truck nut removal, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Cutting Mat Podcast. Please, if you like
us, that be
follow
truck castration.
If you remove them, then yeah.
Well, oh my God, we're not Heaven's Gates.
Also, if you're enjoying this TruckNet related conversation, please leave us a 5-star review on any of the podcast.
Yes, please.
Places. Yes. We would really appreciate that.
We don't
advertise or anything. So if you guys could tell your friends about us, that would also be cool. We're trying to build the largest podcast cult the world has ever seen, and we need your help to do that.
We're
and
doing
also, castration
so
not involved.
One final thanks to all of our patrons as well. Especially for sticking with us in this hard time. You guys are freaking amazing. If you'd like
love
to join
y'all are doing so
Patreon,
great.
You can go to patreon.com/thecuttingmat.
We also have a public Discord. It is tied to the Patreon. So if you are a Patreon member, you do get a little special access in there, but it is open to the public. And come hang out, come chat. Like Brandon said, the Patreon is if you want to support what we're doing, that's the best way to do it. We do know financially right now it is hard times for a lot of people out there. So if you are a Patreon and you need to cancel, feel free to do so.
Totally.
We're still
going
to send you stuff anyways. So
we just you'll still get your stuff even if you have to cancel for financial reasons. Totally understand it. But thanks again, seriously, for sticking around.
Yeah, it means the world to us and being able to make awesome podcast content. And we're also going to try and do some other content coming up. We've talked about it before, but you'll see that here. But
yeah, it's outside of our conversation. It'll be fun. So what happens when this doesn't work, Joel?
What doesn't work?
What happens when the technology fails and we can't upload this podcast?
We will do Smoke Signal Cast on the new platform, Firecast. We'll do like underground hardcore band zines and shit and send them out to all the different people we know. That'll be the new podcast.
Backup plan.
I mean, that sounds cool. So,
I mean, actually, I guess we'll announce it here. We are working on a very small short run magazine called The Cutting Mat Podcast, or just The Cutting Mat. It's going to have a lot of community galleries, some fun Star Trek tips and tricks from Brandon, and all kinds of really fun shit. We're just going to cram in a little magazine that will be available to our Patreon subscribers. So be on the lookout for that. But if the technology fails,
we'll just come to your houses.
We'll just come to your house and just hang out, honestly.
But what?
Yeah. From a respectable distance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 6 feet.
Yeah.
But, you know. So we'll see you guys later. Thanks for thanks for listening, guys. You guys stay safe so we don't have to come to your house.
Stay safe.
Hang
wash
out with
your hands.
You. All right. Where's Brandon?
What? I'm here.
All right. Just want to make sure you're here for the ending, bud. For the end of the episode.
Well, I've been here the whole time. Wait, are we recording a podcast
today? This is the end of the episode.
Wait, are we recording now?
When are we recording?
Oh, shit.
Wait, all right, are we
guys,
still recording?
On. Could we
you
have tell to record.
Me, just
hold
give me a heads
second.
Up before you hit record because I'm not
all right,
ready.
We're going to start right now. Ready? One,
all right.
Okay.
Two,
yep.
Three.